This episode is brought to you by Pronamel.
Not all our favorite foods and drinks are BFFs with our teeth. Salad dressings, seltzers, and fruits can be enamel enemies. So if you eat or drink those things regularly, your enamel could be at risk. And once it's gone, it's gone.
Pronamel Intensive Enamel Repair penetrates deep into the enamel surface, locking in vital minerals to repair acid-weakened enamel. And with new Pronamel Repair mouthwash, you can enhance that repair beyond just brushing.
Pronamel is the number one dentist-recommended brand for acid erosion, so buy Pronamel Repair anywhere you buy toothpaste or mouthwash. Visit pronamel.com.
Ready? Okay. Give me a beach.
Beach!
Give me great food.
Tacos!
Give me adventure.
Hiking!
Give me a date night.
Sunset cruise!
Give me some smiles.
Cheese!
Give me more beaches.
Beaches!
What's that spell?
San Diego!
If you're happy and you know it, San Diego is the place to show it. Book your trip at sandiego.org. Funded in part with the City of San Diego Tourism Marketing District Assessment Funds.
What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casuals and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
Hello and welcome to Savor, a production of iHeartRadio. I'm Annie Reese.
And I'm Lauren Volkbaum. And today we have another interview for you from the Wynn Resort in Las Vegas.
Yes, which... we've had a couple. We went and did four, three. We did a few.
We did three with four people.
Ah, okay.
Yeah.
Hence the confusion. Yes. Uh-huh. But we got to interview these really cool people doing really cool things at the Wynn Resort, and it was really interesting to hear how collaborative they were. And yeah, we got to use their really fancy studios to do it.
Yeah, because this company by the name of Blue Wire built out a podcast studio in the Wynn Resort for people to come use. I understand that I think we might be the first culinary-related podcast to record there.
Well,
I don't want to say super for sure, but I think it's been mostly sports-related podcasts, which we're not.
No. Decidedly, we are not.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. We are a very uncoordinated podcast.
Yes. Well, I'm going to add that as a little notch in the things we've accomplished. The first culinary podcast, maybe.
Possibly. So the Wynn Resort did sponsor the trip. But as we've said before in our previous two interviews with Marina and Chef Sarah, it was so awesome to go and talk to these people about the weird, cool things that they're doing, because Vegas is such a weird, cool town. And so the entire experience was overwhelming in a fun way.
It was indeed. And we were quite frazzled going into this interview, I will say that.
That was our bad. Yeah, all me and Annie and super producer Andrew all misread the call time, and so all of us were trying to show up half an hour late.
Yes, and there was some panic where they were like, where are you? And we're like, what are you talking about? Let me put on clothes. I'm in my pajamas. Yeah.
So if I sound panicked at the top of the interview, I was. That's an accurate reading of the situation. So this interview is with Chef Christopher Lee, who is the Vice President of Culinary Operations at the resort, and Chef David Middleton, who is the executive chef of a restaurant there called Lakeside. And they were very kind about the whole thing. Luckily, oh my goodness, as I've said before, my father was industry, and I was so extra panicked that we were talking to chefs.
Yeah.
If I had done this to anyone, I would have been really upset with myself. But I was like, oh, they're going to murder me. They're going to murder me with their knives, with their thought knives. It's going to be terrible. No, they were the very thought kind. Knives.
Yes. Yes. They were. Yeah. And they were also, it was cool to hear. I feel like a lot of times when we do these interviews, there's an easing after they realize we're nerds.
Oh, yeah.
And I felt that in this one where they were like, oh, okay, we're talking about like nerdy food stuff.
Oh, we're just talking about fermentation and we can just do that. Yeah, sure.
Exactly. And at the end, they were both talking about what they were going off to next. And I was just so jealous. It was like, I'm going to taste like aged steaks. And I was like, oh, cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good for you. Good for you.
Yeah, honestly.
I will say we did get to eat at Chef David's restaurant Lakeside while we were there. And it was lovely. Everything there was lovely. Again, this is sponsored content, but it was so nice. Like it just the food there was really heckin' good.
It was good. It's a very seafood based restaurant, which you probably will ascertain from listening to this interview. But we were next to where you could see all of like the fresh cuts of seafood, pieces of seafood.
And it had a vaguely open kitchen. And so like you could see what people were doing in there. Huh.
Mm-hmm. And they have a show that people recommended to us. That's like a frog that sings.
not in the kitchen.
No, not in the kitchen. But it's like a whole thing. It's like, because it's like looking out onto the Fountain of Dreams, I think it's called.
Yeah, a big like waterfall fountain kind of situation. And they project, and then they've got puppets. It's a whole thing. It's a whole thing.
It is. It is. Just like much of Vegas. It is a whole thing. But it was lovely. The food was lovely. And it's always, it sounds so dorky, but it's always nice when Lauren and Andrew and I just get to have nice food and enjoy a nice ambiance.
A lot of our jobs are like rushing around and folding ourselves into our strange little podcast cubby holes, like the little podcast gremlins that we are. But
we got the bully of ice. I remember.
Oh,
it was good.
But right. So they wanted to talk about a couple of specific things that they're working on. Chris's job is a lot more zoomed out, you know, cause he's helping direct the entire culinary experience of the resort, which is a whole bunch. If you listen to Marina's, interview, is a whole bunch of different spots around the resort. Let's just get into it, yeah? But first, I suppose, let us take a quick break for a word from our sponsors. This episode is brought to you by Pronamel.
Not all our favorite foods and drinks are BFFs with our teeth. Salad dressings, seltzers, and fruits can be enamel enemies. So if you eat or drink those things regularly, your enamel could be at risk. And once it's gone, it's gone.
Pronamel Intensive Enamel Repair penetrates deep into the enamel surface, locking in vital minerals to repair acid-weakened enamel. And with new Pronamel Repair mouthwash, you can enhance that repair beyond just brushing.
Pronamel is the number one dentist-recommended brand for acid erosion, so buy Pronamel Repair anywhere you buy toothpaste or mouthwash. Visit pronamel.com.
There's a lot of pros to drinking Health Aid kombucha. No cons that I can think of. Pro, amazing taste. Pro, pairs well with anything. Pro, probiotic. That's a literal pro. And it's deliciously refreshing. It's the perfect pairing to your meal or great on its own, whether you're having pink lady apple, berry lemonade, or one of the other great flavors. It's the perfect swap for soda or alcohol. Make it part of your daily routine. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid Kombucha today.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feeling Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
And we're back. Thank you, sponsors.
let's get into the interview.
Hello and welcome to the Savor Podcast. We are coming to you today from the Wynn Las Vegas Blue Wire Studios. I'm Lauren Vogelbaum.
I'm Annie Reese.
And we are joined today by two guests. Who are you and what do you do here?
Sure. Christopher Lee, I'm the Vice President of Culinary Operations.
David Middleton, I'm the Executive Chef at Lakeside here at Wynn.
And okay, we heard that you guys are starting a dry aged fish program. What got you into this?
I'll let you take that one.
It's all his fault. So Chris and I, probably about 6 months ago, were having a conversation on where we want to take the restaurant and what can we do to elevate it and kind of carve out a niche. And we both started talking about a couple of people around the world that are doing it very well. And so we started doing some research. I started doing some R&D. And so that's kind of how it came about.
Yeah, I mean, it was, you know, as we look at a timeline or lifespan of a restaurant, you know, the Lakeside's been here for 18 years and there's always going to have to be a repositioning going on. So our goal as, you know, leaders, we're always evaluating our, our properties, our venues and seeing where we need to go for another 5-10 years. So we started this road about, I don't know, maybe 3 months ago about, you know, repositioning Lakeside. And David is our executive chef there, and he's very super talented and passionate about the whole seafood world. And as culinarians, we're always inspired to look what's going on in the world. And so, you know, this was a program or is a program. Maybe it's not necessarily new, right? So, because dry aging or aging is a long, old process. But, you know, it's the fear factor to it. So there's been a lot of international, well, a couple main chefs internationally that started this program, and, you know, we admired it. We started trying it ourselves, and then we implemented it, you know, into our program.
Could you talk a little bit about, like, what processes you've developed and like, what happens to the fish as it ages?
Sure. So right now we are dry aging tuna. We're doing a bone-in tuna chop. Ooh. And we're aging it for 11 days. We've tried less time. We've tried more time. I think I pushed it to 18 days, and it just wasn't quite what we were looking for. Basically, the protein, it becomes more tender, but it also has a nice meaty texture. We're basically extracting water, right? So when you remove water from a protein, especially fish who has a very high water content as opposed to like beef, you're left with just the meat and the fat. So that umami is there, the texture is there, it's more buttery, just all around, it's just a much more pleasant experience.
Yeah, and the big difference between the two, so everyone knows what dry aging meat is, right? That's a common thing that you see in most steakhouses, and it builds this beautiful, nutty, musky flavor profile to it. But when you start aging meat, you're looking for certain mold spores, right? Mold spores are what really gives it that flavor. That's not what we're looking for in dry aging fish. Fish, you know, if we have that mold introduction, you know, it reacts different with the protein, since it's a little higher, and, you know, the protein itself has higher water content than meat does. So that water content is what really is the bacteria driver, right? So
Sure. That's
why you can't go too long. You know, the higher the water content in something, you know, the moisture is what's going to breed, like, you know, unhealthy mold and stuff. So it's as we go through it, if you look at it, you know, we're really looking to like dehydrate the meat. And that dehydration of it is like, if you're looking at for like beef jerky is a good example, where beef jerky is dry, instead of having a mold introduced into it, or curing or aging like a salami or something, right? So it's a drying of a process. So it breaks down the natural sinew with this in the tuna itself, or at least the, you know, what we discovered in tuna. And then at the same time, it just builds this huge or this great umami flavor profile.
This, I didn't think that I could be hungry after the amount of food that I've eaten over the past like 40 hours, but oh heck, I want to try all of this right now.
Welcome to our life. I've had an issue of going hungry.
Right. We're super nerds for like the science and history behind things. Could you talk a little bit, or can you talk a little bit about like the history of how
of how fish has been treated by, because I feel like in the States, there's this really strong emphasis on freshness. And people probably don't realize that if they've had good sashimi, it's probably been aged. Can you speak to the history there?
Sure. So you are correct. There is that kind of misconception in this country about you want the freshest fish when you do want the freshest fish, but you don't want the freshest fish right out of the water. You mm-hmm. want the freshest fish you can get, and then you want to treat it properly. And in this case of dry aging, the Japanese started this hundreds of years ago. And the reason they did was because they were actually just looking for preservation. They had no way of transporting the fish inland without it spoiling. So what they would do is they would either use a brine and wash it in like a salt water solution, sake, they would rinse it in, or they would even wrap it in kombu, which is a type of seaweed leaf, and that would had salinity into it, and so it would basically cure while they were traveling. So that's kind of where it all came from. So yeah, I mean, that's about
which. Which all those techniques are, right? So whether it's dry aging, curing, salt curing, confiting, it's all techniques developed before there is refrigeration, right? So,
yeah.
You know, so when we say this is new to us or new to the culture, it's not necessarily new to the culinary scene. You know, if you look at the kind of like the symbiont circle, right? Everything comes around, starts here, goes here, then always comes back around. It's not a new technique, but you know, David is right when it comes down to the knowledge of fish, right? You know, seafood itself, you know, it's not, when you're buying commercial seafood, you're not buying it from the water. It's probably about 14 days old, actually, which is why sometimes some seafood is not handled correctly. It doesn't have a long lifespan in your fridge. But, you know, when you catch a fish, it goes through a rigor mortis phase, which then a lactic acid gets built up, put into the muscle, gets really sour and it's bent and it's really tough. But there's a relaxing period of about, you know, probably 3 to 4 days before it comes out of that. And then, you know, there's another grace period of whether it's wet aging or dry aging for another 5-10 days. So it's a unique thing. But, I mean, if you look at boats economically couldn't go out day of, day back, right?
Yeah.
Like you do that for bluefin tuna and some big tunas because you're getting, you know, the $23 to $29 to $30 a pound. But you know, you can't afford that on a daily basis, right? So when you're looking at seafood that's at that lower price point, I mean, these boats are going out for a week to a month.
Sure,
right?
Yeah.
And they're hard packing things on ice and then bringing it back to port and then fabricating and getting to the restaurant. So it's not a bad thing. It's not something to be afraid of. It's just an acknowledgement of something that has gone bad, right? There's things sure. that could last for a long time in your refrigerator. But once you start seeing if there's like an introduction of bad bacteria to it, you touch it. Your hands are probably the dirtiest part, right? And you touch something, it could go to that decay phase within days, or it could sit there. And if you didn't touch it, it could sit there for maybe a week.
Sure.
Right.
Sure. No, I mean, the entire history of food is just trying to figure out what's the good way of letting things spoil and the bad way of letting things spoil. We talk all the time on the show about bacteria poop and how exciting it is, how it like leads to all of our favorite foods, basically. You mentioned wet aging. Can you guys talk a little bit about the differences between wet aging and dry aging? Are you trying any wet aging in the kitchen or?
Well, I mean, up until now, that's all we've been doing. Right? That's what most people do on the planet. Everything is pretty much wet age when it comes to seafood. Mm-hmm. You get it packed on ice. You put it in the walk-in. The humidity is very high. You know, it's packed on ice still. So the dry aging is just the reverse of that. The minute that we get the fish, we remove the scales because that's where a lot of the bacteria grows.
Sure.
And then from there, we don't want any water to touch it. The least amount of fresh water, salt, whatever it is, to touch it and then go into the dry age locker. So, I mean, wet age is just the opposite of that. You still, like Chef Chris has spoken about, you know, you don't want to eat the fish right after catching it. So you want it to relax, let the rigor mortis take effect, go through that process. And so wet aging is just basically the fish that's sitting in your walk-in for a couple of days prior to you serving it or deciding to serve it. Hmm.
Is there anything, I mean, this is all super fascinating. Is there anything else that you guys are doing right now that you just are bursting to speak about?
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely stages that we're going through here. This is one of the programs we're introducing. We're also trying to create something. If we do if it turns out, we'll have a pretty interesting new hot, you know, new look for a hot shellfish plateau, which, you know, is a big thing in a lot of seafood restaurants, steakhouses. Sure. So we're working on a very unique, we're with a fabricator in town to design kind of a five element, different heat source element, hot shellfish plateau. it's in a very, very beginning stages. Of course, we're very positive about it, so we think we're going to do it. but there's, we'll see. We're going to go through. We actually got this device made. It's beautiful. It's really heavy, but it's beautiful. And we'll go through a testing in the next couple of weeks. So hopefully, we'll have that to launch as well. I mean, the restaurant's going through a little look and feel in the dining room, changing some rugs, chandeliers, some color schemes, getting new tabletops. So it's not going to be a super brand new relaunch or redevelopment of a concept. It's just kind of repositioning. So we're just freshening up something that's been there for a very long time, very successful. And the menu will have a little different look and feel, but the dry aging process is really what we're going to showcase. And, you know, we started with tuna, but we're heading into other elements of it as well. So we're heading into, you know, trying to figure out that balance of, like, is it better to dry age something that's super high in fat content, or is it better to dry age something that's low, right? You know, with these new techniques come out, there's, you know, you could say the same thing about sous vide when it came out, right? Everyone had their own opinion about it, which is what we do as chefs. So we take something like, okay, well, that's an interesting theory, but I don't agree with this point of this theory. Let me try it my way. And so we're trying to figure out what age is better, a fish that's lean or a fish that's heavy in fat content. So that's going to be our next challenge. So we're looking at, you know, items like salmon, mackerel. David wants to go, you know, with halibut and some other shellfish items that we're going to just go. And that's the fun process of discovery and what we do. You know, we understand as culinarians, you know, if we have 10 ideas, three of them might be great. Seven of them might not be great. So we have to find that balance. Failure is a part of our progression, you know. And I tell these chefs all the time, you know, I want you guys to be innovators and creators, but, you know, don't be afraid of failure. You know, if you're afraid of failure, then you'll never be an innovator, right? And if you're not failing, then I'm going to say you're not pushing hard enough, right? So that's kind of the take I'm taking, because, you know, I'm fairly new to the team, but I'm not. If you look at the wind is an amazing place, an amazing resort. And I'm looking at, well, what's today and what's 5 years, what's 10 years down the line? I'm not trying to, there's nothing to fix here, right? Right. It's really about
what y'all are doing just okay. Yeah.
So there's something, it's just looking towards that future aspect. So, you know, that's what we're doing. We're trying to introduce new techniques here, get these chefs having fun with food again. Because Vegas is, to my opinion, it's evolved to be more than a gaming town. This is an ultimate entertainment town, and food is entertainment.
Absolutely. Yeah. Keeping it fresh, or keeping it carefully aged. Yeah.
We have some more of our interview, but first we have one more quick break for a word from our sponsors.
This episode is brought to you by Pronamel.
Not all our favorite foods and drinks are BFFs with our teeth. Salad dressing, seltzers, and fruits can be enamel enemies. So if you eat or drink those things regularly, your enamel could be at risk. And once it's gone, it's gone.
Pronamel Intensive Enamel Repair penetrates deep into the enamel surface, locking in vital minerals to repair acid-weakened enamel. And with new Pronamel Repair mouthwash, you can enhance that repair beyond just brushing.
Pronamel is the number one dentist-recommended brand for acid erosion, so buy Pronamel Repair anywhere you buy toothpaste or mouthwash. Visit Pronamel.com.
There's a lot of pros to drinking Health Aid kombucha. No cons that I can think of. Pro, amazing taste. Pro, pairs well with anything. Pro, probiotic. That's a literal pro. And it's deliciously refreshing. It's the perfect pairing to your meal, or great on its own, whether you're having Pink Lady Apple, Berry Lemonade, or one of the other great flavors. It's the perfect swap for soda or alcohol. Make it part of your daily routine. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid Kombucha today.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like Eco Eye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feeling Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
And we're back. Thank you, sponsors. And back to the interview.
I've been hogging the microphone this entire time. Annie, do you have anything to...
No, I would just say we last night we went to Lakeside and it was delicious and it was so hard to choose from everything.
Yeah, we are only three humans, but we did what we could.
We did what we could. And it was delicious.
It was, yes. Thank you. Thank you so much. Is there anything that we didn't ask that we should have? Is there anything that you would like to speak to? Sorry, that's really big. That's like, I mean, like, how's your dog doing? I don't know if anyone has a dog.
Three.
You just said the Wynn is a large place. You have a lot of jobs to do. How many venues do you have in here?
That's interesting. I think it's around 27. Yeah, okay. Last time I checked, it was 28 total F&B, but not all of them serve food.
Okay, so some of them are just cocktails under Marina,
And some and one or two are third party relationships, but other than that, they're it's primary. We look at about 18 as a primary number of the venue side before you get into catering, banquets, and etc. So there's a really great balance of casual and fine dining restaurants here. Every restaurant has an executive chef, so you know I have 18 of David's around the building.
There's only one of me.
Of course.
And trust me, he only wants to be only one of me.
So, and it's, you know, they're all uniquely talented, you know, and that's the beauty about, you know, this hotel over others, right? I mean, I don't want to talk down to it, but we primarily have our chefs here on property on a 24-hour, well, let's say every day, right?
You can never leave.
Or at least 5 days a week. But you know what you're getting, right? So if you come here, you go to Lakeside, you go to SW, you go to Delilah's, you know the chef is going to be there at least 5 days a week. You know, some of the relationships in this town are rented relationships, we like to call them. They might be there once a year, once a quarter. But uniquely different for the Wynn is if you really, truly love a restaurant here, that chef is here running the restaurant, you know, creating and consistent control, which is, you know, the secret to our success or anyone's success is the consistency of greatness. So that's the best part, right? That's here. We have all this amazing talent that's by far could challenge the Michelin ratings, the beard, you know, could win beard awards. And that's, you know, that's our mission, right? My mission is to get the world and to know our chefs. And so we're definitely pushing forward on you know, marketing plans, PR plans to really get these guys known and to build more recognition here, you know, more draw to come to the Wynn.
Right. Yeah. No. And it is like genuinely, I need to emphasize that like some of the meals that we've had over this whirlwind of a visit have just been like, we've had these moments where we've just been like sitting at a dinner table and like have that bite of food and have that moment where we're just like, oh, like this is what food can be. Like this is, and it especially like during the pandemic, like I feel like we haven't had the opportunity to have that kind of meal that often. So it's really nice.
Well, you can come back anytime.
Thank you. I think we're contractually obligated to, so we probably will. That's wild. And like, right. Like I feel like it's hard to, if you're not in the industry, it's hard to understand what volume is for a restaurant for a normal mom and pop down the street, you know, let alone like, do you have some of those numbers in your head? Like, can you speak to the ridiculous volume that you guys do?
Yes. The volume is pretty, it's ever growing, right? So if you look back 18 years ago when the Wynn was, you know, built and created and, you know, I think it was 4 or 5 years after Encore was added to it, but you're looking at, you know, what the founding fathers of this hotel, of this resort, they never thought they would be doing the numbers we're doing today. So, you know, a lot of our kitchens are built around, you know, doing 200, 300 covers. And I think most of our restaurants are pushing 600, 700, 800 covers now. So you can see from a cover count standpoint, how it's grown over the 18 years. You know, it's remarkable that a brand could be almost timeless, right? And that's what, when you look at the Wynn, you see it, you know, around the wall. It just is like a timeless place, and it could just keep growing and growing. And, you know, the operators struggle with it, like any operator would, who's, you know, would come in doing 300 covers and then all of a sudden push and doing, you know, 5 to 6. It's not an easy thing. But, you know, I always look at, take bright side out of it, because I understand how hard it is to run restaurants, been there. But, you know, the bright side is you're popular, right? You know, I mean, it's better to be in a busy restaurant than a slow.
It's a good problem to have, yeah.
So one thing last night when we were at the restaurant at Lakeside, one thing we ran into that we have loved is that passion from a chef came up and was like, oh my gosh, do you like this? Let me tell you the story behind it. And it was just, it's just so wonderful to see people doing something that they like and feeling proud of it. And then before this, I overheard you two talking about Instagram and like finding this like donut sandwich and stuff like that. Do you, like, for you, how does that manifest, that like passion and like planning of your menu and what you decide to put on there?
So for me, I mean, it's an evolution for sure. I mean, I've been doing this for 25 years, and I think that I've drawn inspiration from all over. And I think as I'm getting older as a chef and a little bit more experience, I'm looking for new avenues to get inspired. Yes, Instagram is obviously a great tool. It's not just a social platform, but also you can do research, you know, how things are being plated, what are the trends going on, things like that. So I definitely do draw from that. For me, it's more about an ingredient. If I see an ingredient in a grocery store or at a farmer's market, that's really where I try and take that and say, hey, how can I manipulate this either the least amount possible and make it amazing, or do something really cool with it. So for me, it's more about the ingredients, I think, that really get me to challenge myself and do something I haven't done before. So yeah, I'm more ingredient driven, and I think Chef pushes me, pushes my boundaries for sure, because he's got his fingertips on, you know, everything going on. And he's like, hey, what do you think about this? Hey, what do you think about this? Hey, have you tried to do this? Or, you know, hey, that's not good enough, you know, which is his job totally. So yeah, I think I get inspiration from him, and then obviously the ingredients that I'm able to get.
You know, it's interesting thing, a lot of, and I'm not sure, well, it's for chefs, but maybe for, you know, a lot of the public, you know, a chef will go through an entire career and they might have maybe two aha moments, right? Where a moment is basically you just created a profile, you created a technique, you did something that no one's ever done. It's very, very, very hard in our industry to sit there and say, well, you're just a complete innovator, you come up with all these great, amazing things, right? It doesn't work that way. You know, what David is correct. You know, our passion needs to be around ingredients, right? And the technique and the excellent technique and the consistency. So when you come into a restaurant, our job is to source, you know, whether it's the best seafood, the best steaks, and then cook them perfectly and season them perfectly. That's the challenge. That's the consistency side of it. But to be that true, like, aha moment, it doesn't happen on a regular basis. And like I said, if you're lucky, if you get one in your career, or two in your career. So, you know, just being inspired by the, you know, the global culinary community is what we need to do, right? And we all inspire each other. And if someone is, let's say, arrogant or not secure enough to sit there and say, oh yeah, you took my idea, whatever, I could prove the fact that idea has been around for years, right? It's not about that. It's just about enjoying what you're doing. You know, you mentioned passion, and you mentioned, you know, that's what drives us. That's what drives you to come to work every day, right? Without that passion, this industry would just eat you up.
Oh yeah. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Yeah. Thank you.
And this brings us to the end of our first round of Las Vegas interviews. We are going back.
Hypothetically in October to hypothetically interview a bunch more people.
Yes. So looking forward to all of that.
Yes. And we're also going this week. We're going to the iHeartRadio Music Festival in Las Vegas. We're going to be recording some live podcast there. Lauren is joining me for Stuff I've Never Told You. I really appreciate it. We're going to talk about the X-Files. It's going to be great. We're going to do an episode for Saver. Lauren's going to do some brain stuff. So if you're around, let us know.
If you happen to be in Las Vegas for... Right, the iHeartRadio Music Festival. It is September 22nd and 23rd. That's a Friday and Saturday this year. Fingers crossed you're hearing this not after the fact, but who knows? I don't have any control over when you listen to podcasts. But yeah, if you're going to be there, you should come say, hey, we're going to be recording on Saturday. It's going to be real weird, and I think it's going to be great.
Yes, I think it will be. I think it will be. And again, if you happen to hear this, you probably won't. But if you happen to hear it before we go, and you have any recommendations, let us know.
Oh, always. Yeah.
Always. But we hope you enjoyed this. There will be more. In the meantime, we would love to hear from you. You can email us at hello@saverpod.com.
We are also on social media. You can find us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram @SaverPod, and we do hope to hear from you. Saver is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, you can visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. Thanks, as always, to our super producers, Dylan Fagan and Andrew Howard. Thanks to you for listening, and we hope that lots more good things are coming your way. This episode is brought to you by Pronamel.
Not all our favorite foods and drinks are BFFs with our teeth. Salad dressing, seltzers, and fruits can be enamel enemies. So if you eat or drink those things regularly, your enamel could be at risk. And once it's gone, it's gone.
Pronamel Intensive Enamel Repair penetrates deep into the enamel surface, locking in vital minerals to repair acid-weakened enamel. And with new Pronamel Repair mouthwash, you can enhance that repair beyond just brushing.
Pronamel is the number one dentist-recommended brand for acid erosion, so buy Pronamel Repair anywhere you buy toothpaste or mouthwash. Visit Pronamel.com.
Today's episode is brought to you by Discover Puerto Rico.
Puerto Rico is home to a thriving culinary scene based on products and traditions from the native Taíno, African, and Spanish peoples that have influenced it.
When you go, there are a host of restaurants, bars, breweries, distilleries, farms, and coffee houses to dig into, from five-star experiences to local favorites.
No passport required for U.S. citizens and permanent residents. Learn more and plan your trip at discoverpuertorico.com.
There's a lot of pros to drinking Health Aid kombucha. No cons that I can think of. Pro, amazing taste. Pro, pairs well with anything. Pro, probiotic. It's a literal pro, and it's deliciously refreshing. It's the perfect pairing to your meal or great on its own, whether you're having Pink Lady Apple, Berry Lemonade, or one of the other great flavors. It's the perfect swap for soda or alcohol. Make it part of your daily routine. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid Kombucha today.